John chapter 10, and in the opening verses, we hear Jesus speak. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, last Sunday morning, we were looking at chapter 9, where John records the 6 of the 7 sign miracles that make up his tremendous gospel. The healing of the man who was born blind. We saw that this was a miracle that was unique to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was something that had never ever happened in human history. You see, it was an indication that the Messiah had arrived and that the blessings of the gospel age had now begun. For here was one who came to open the eyes of the physically blind, and one who came to open the eyes of the spiritually blind, that men and women might see. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this is exactly what happened to that man in the story in chapter 9. Because after Jesus restored his physical sight, you remember how he returned to his family, to his home and neighbours, and he began to tell everyone about it. He just couldn't keep the good news to himself. And eventually it brought him into direct conflict with the religious authorities, the Pharisees. So much so that they cast him out of the synagogue, and they completely excommunicated him from the Jewish church. But we saw how Jesus later came to him in verse 35 and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man very honestly replied, who is he? Who is he that I may believe in him? You see, up until this point, this man was still in spiritual darkness. His understanding was darkened. His eyes were blinded. Oh, he could see physically. He could see the Lord Jesus standing right in front of him. But he didn't have a clue who Jesus really was. He couldn't see Christ's glory. He was still in the darkness of unbelief. But Jesus then turned to the blind man made well. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And immediately the man exclaims, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Jesus. And that very moment, salvation entered in, and he was brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And he could truly stand and sing with the hymn writer, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Well, as Jesus considered the faith and the submission of the man who had been born blind, and in contrast to the terrible rejection and the hostility of the religious authorities, Jesus suddenly stood and said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see or think they see may be made blind. And the Pharisees overheard these words, and they said to Jesus, are we blind also? They got the point. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. Well, this brings us this morning to chapter 10 of John's Gospel. And here in these verses we have recorded our Lord's famous discourse and parable of the Good Shepherd. And this is surely one of the most exquisite and beautiful pictures that is given to us in the Word of God. And it is at this point this morning that we must immediately express our frustration at the people who put these chapter divisions in our Bibles, because they're certainly not original to the text. John and the others did not write in this way. They were added in later centuries. And on the whole, they can be at times very helpful. But this one is particularly unhelpful, because they put it in entirely the wrong place. It gives us the false impression that John is now finished talking about the man born blind, and he's now moved on to record an entirely new incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. But nothing could be further from the truth, because you'll notice that chapter 10 is a continuation of chapter 9. Indeed, our Lord is addressing the very selfsame people. And what Jesus is saying to them here is this: that these religious authorities, these Pharisees, were not only just blind leaders of the blind, but they were also guilty of a total dereliction of duty. They were supposed to have been the spiritual shepherds of God's people Israel. They had been appointed and set apart to feed the flock of God and to care for their souls. But the way they had treated this man who was born blind by casting him out of the synagogue clearly showed that they had no shepherd heart at all. They were really nothing more than hirelings. They had no care or concern really for the flock. They were just thieves and robbers who had come to steal, to kill and to destroy. They were only in it for what they could get out of it. They were worthless shepherds. They were bogus shepherds. But in complete contrast, Jesus now stands and identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. Notice he says, I'm not just a shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd or any shepherd. I am the shepherd, and I am the Good Shepherd. I am the one who has come to satisfy your every need. I am the one who can guarantee your eternal security. I am the Good Shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. Now, these Jews should have been familiar with our Lord's teaching here, because the whole of the Old Testament is absolutely steeped in shepherd theology and this imagery of the shepherd and his sheep. You remember how from the very earliest times God declared himself to be the shepherd of his people. Do you remember how Jacob, at the end of his long life, spoke of the God who shepherded me all my life long until this day? You see, as Jacob looked back over his long life, he could see the way the Lord was with him every moment of every day. The Lord was like a shepherd going before him, leading him, guiding him, feeding him, providing for him. The God who shepherded me all my life long until this day. And in Psalm 23 verse 1, David was able to say, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Yes, God has ever been a shepherd to his people. But then, of course, throughout history, God had also provided his people with many under-shepherds to feed them and to care for their souls. We read, for example, of men like Moses and of David in particular, who are singled out as faithful shepherds of God's people Israel. But when we come to Ezekiel 34, to that particular period in Israel's history, we find a very different picture, a very different scenario. The astonishing thing is that the prophet Isaiah is now prophesying against the shepherds of Israel, because they had become irresponsible shepherds. Instead of caring and feeding the flock, they were content on feeding themselves. They had become cruel and heartless, ruling over God's people with a rod of iron and thus scattering the flock. And because of this, God announces through Isaiah that the day was surely coming when the Lord himself would gather his scattered flock from all over the country, and he would unite them under one faithful shepherd, David, who would feed them and care for them. And that amazing prophecy has now and is now being fulfilled in David's greater son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He was declaring himself to be the fulfillment of that messianic prophecy. Jesus is the true shepherd, the faithful shepherd, the one who would gather in the scattered flock, the one who would unite and truly feed and satisfy God's people. "I am the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for the sheep." And friends, I believe that this has great contemporary relevance for our present time. For there are multitudes of people in our society this morning, people in our country, people throughout the world, who are literally crying out for a hero. They're looking for someone to champion their cause, someone whom they can look up to, someone whom they can respect, someone who will be a leader to them and give them guidance and direction, a reason, a hope and a purpose for living. Someone who will be able to mend our broken, fractured society and usher in a bright hope tomorrow. But where on earth is such a leader to be found? People today are becoming increasingly disillusioned with our political leaders. People feel increasingly let down by them, with the recent expenses scandal and the second home debacle. People have come to the conclusion that these leaders are only in it for themselves and that they do not care about the people. Their mouths are full of hot air. Their mouths are full of lies and deception and deceit and broken promises. But friends, I want to tell you this morning that there is a leader who is worthy of your confidence. There is a leader who is quite different from all the rest, and it's not Nick Clegg. There is a leader this morning who always speaks the truth, and he always keeps the promises that he has made. One who has the power to satisfy the needs of all humanity and usher in that bright hope for all eternity. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And he will be the shepherd of all who put their trust in him. My friends, what a contrast. Well, now as we look at this amazing picture that Jesus paints for us here, I want you to see this morning that he reveals three wonderful things about his ministry to us as the Good Shepherd. And we're going to look at two of them this morning. And in the first place, Jesus begins by revealing to us the shepherd's relationship to his sheep. The shepherd's relationship to his flock, verses 1 to 6. And you'll immediately notice that it is a relationship of intimacy and familiarity. Jesus begins, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, Jewish shepherds in the ancient world would keep their sheep in two kinds of sheepfold. For example, if they were out in the countryside, in the fields, then it would be a very simple enclosure, usually made of low stone walls, with a little entrance at one end. But if the shepherd happened to be in a town or in a big city centre, then the sheepfold there would be quite a large and a more sophisticated affair, with higher walls offering greater protection and shelter to the flocks. And these town sheepfolds were usually communal affairs, offering a shelter to a large number of mixed flocks. And the shepherds every day and every night would bring their sheep into this communal sheepfold. And they were guarded at night by a professional doorkeeper. And it is this latter picture that Jesus is painting for us here. Notice how he depicts the shepherd arriving early in the morning to the sheepfold. He goes up to the official entrance. He is instantly recognized by the doorkeeper, who opens the door to let him in. And then as the shepherd enters the sheepfold, he begins to gather his own flock. But the question and the problem that confronts us is, how on earth is the shepherd to know in a mixed sheepfold which sheep are his? How on earth is he to make sure that they don't get mixed up with others? Well, Jesus tells us the answer is really quite simple. The shepherd just stands and he gives his sheep his usual call, and there is an instant voice recognition. The sheep hear their shepherd's voice and they respond. And then the shepherd leads them out through the door into pasture. Jesus says the sheep will not follow a stranger because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. And friends, this has been proved over and over again. At times in the East, sometimes people have actually dressed up in the clothes of a shepherd. And they have given the sheep an almost identical call. But the sheep just do not listen. They will not respond. If I were to call Marilyn's dog Smudge this morning, I'm sure she would instantly respond and instantly follow. And if a stranger walked in here off the street and gave her a call, she would still respond. But not these sheep. No, they will not follow a stranger. They may be creatures of low intelligence. They may be creatures who act rather stupid and silly at times. But the sheep know who their shepherd is. They recognize the tone of his voice. And they follow him. And friends, it is exactly the same. It is exactly the experience of every single child of God here this morning. This is how the Lord first brought us into his fold. This is how we became his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. It began with a divine call. He called us from heaven. He called us through the gospel. He said, "Come and follow me." And we instantly recognized the voice as the voice of the good shepherd. And we responded, and we followed him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Back in chapter 6, Jesus had already said to the people, "All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out." My sheep hear my voice, they respond, and they follow me. And now every morning, as we open this book, the Bible, we hear the voice, the tender voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to us through the Scriptures. We recognize his voice. And whenever we gather together on the Lord's Day and we sit under the preaching of his word, it doesn't matter who the preacher might be, as he preaches the word of God, so again we hear the voice, the tender voice of the Savior, the Good Shepherd, speaking to his flock. We will not follow a stranger. We will not go after this personality and that personality, because we know who the shepherd is. We have an intimate relationship with him. We are acquainted with the sound of his voice. But there is also something more, because you'll notice in verse 3, Jesus says, not only does the shepherd call his sheep, but he calls his own sheep by name. He calls them out by name. You see, the picture before us is that of the Eastern shepherd, who usually had a very small flock, usually less than 100 sheep, so that he knew every one of those sheep individually and particularly. He knew everything about them. He was acquainted with all their ways. He knew their foibles. He knew their character. He knew their temperament. He knew their personality. and he had nicknames for each and every one of them. Even to this day, Oriental shepherds will give pet names to their sheep. You may call one Long Nose, and another Black Ear, another Timid, or another Fluffy. He has names for each and every one. And friends, is it exactly the same with Christ's relationship with his people, with his flock? He knows you this morning personally. He knows us individually. He knows all about us. What a blessing, friends, it is. He knows your past with your faults, your failings, your hurts. He knows your present with your unfulfilled desires and longings and aspirations. He knows you with a deep and intimate and personal knowledge. I sometimes wonder whether the Good Shepherd this morning has pet names for each of us, maybe based upon the idiosyncrasies of our characters. He calls one of you grumpy. He calls another one timid, another one fearful, another one faithless. But you see, these are all terms of endearment, terms of affection, because the shepherd loves his sheep with an everlasting love, and he will never give you up, and he will never let you go. In fact, so deep, so intimate is the shepherd's knowledge of his people that Jesus goes as far as to say here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own, even as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Isn't that incredible? Just try and get your head around that one. What Jesus is literally telling us this morning is that the same intimate knowledge that the Father has of the Son and the Son of the Father from all eternity is the very same intimate knowledge and relationship that Christ now enjoys with each and every one of his children. No wonder the hymn writer says, is there on earth a closer bond than this? That my beloved is mine, and I am his. The shepherd's relationship to his sheep. But then there is a second wonderful thing that Jesus reveals to us here, and I believe it's even more glorious, and that is the shepherd's provision for his sheep. The shepherd's provision for his sheep. Look at verses 7 through to 10. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now the question that immediately confronts us from that passage is, what exactly does Jesus mean when he describes himself as the door? I'm the door of the sheep. Well, many years ago, Dr. Campbell Morgan, that famous London preacher from Westminster Chapel, was travelling across the Atlantic on a steamship. And who should he bump into among the passengers was the famous Old Testament scholar at that time, Sir George Adam Smith. And you can imagine how they quickly got into a warm and deep conversation with each other. They began to tell one another of all their travels and all their experiences and how these related to the scriptures. And Campbell Morgan writes how of all the stories that Sir George told him that day of his travels in the East, this one of them has never left him. Apparently, he says, he was travelling with a guide and he came across a shepherd with his sheep. He fell into conversation with the shepherd. The man showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George then said to him, that is where they go at night. Yes, said the shepherd. And when they are in the fold, they are perfectly safe. But there is no door, said Sir George. I am the door, said the shepherd. Now, he was not a Christian man. He was not speaking from the language of the New Testament. He was speaking from the Arab shepherd's standpoint. Sir George looked at him and said, "What do you mean by the door?" "Well," he said, "when the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space at the entrance, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body. And no wolf comes in here unless he crosses my body. I am the door." And friends, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here. He is saying, "I am the living door. And in order to enter the fold, you have to go through me. And in order to go out to pasture, you have to go out through me. As the door, I am both the protector and I am the provider. And whenever you enter through that door, you're not only saved, but you're also safe. And whenever you go out through that door, you go out through me and you go out into pasture. I am the provider. And no one ever comes through that door except the one who comes through me." Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's telling us that he is the Saviour, and he is the only Saviour, and he is the exclusive Saviour. There is no other way, there is no other door, there is no entrance into salvation and the blessings of God's grace except through him. That's why Peter could say, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus." He is the sole exclusive mediator. He is the sole exclusive channel through which God's blessings flow into our lives. Jesus is the door, and anyone who enters through him will be saved. But not only does he provide salvation for all who enter through him, but in addition, there is also safety. And there is eternal security within the folds. You see, the sheep are not only saved, but they are safe in the folds. Did you notice how Jesus goes on to emphasize this in verse 27? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands." Friends, this is surely one of the greatest promises that Jesus has ever given to his flock. He not only has power to save this morning, but he has power to save and to keep. He's the good shepherd. He's the provider and the protector of his flock. Even now, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And when the chief shepherd appears, then we will appear with him in glory. And not one of his sheep will be lost or missing in that day. The feeblest saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way. It's an eternal salvation. We're in the palms of his omnipotent hand, and there is no one who can snatch us from it. Salvation, eternal security. But there is more, friends. Because as the good shepherd leads his sheep out through that door, through that entrance, he brings them into pasture. This pasture. You remember how David in Psalm 23 was able to say, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." It's a picture of absolute satisfaction, complete and total contentment in the Good Shepherd. He supplies all our needs. And then in addition to this, there is the promise of abundant life. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and that they might have it to the full, life more abundant." You see, Christianity is not just the old life reformed and patched up and made a little bit better. It is nothing less than the miracle of a brand new life. It's a new life in Jesus Christ. It's the very life of heaven, the life of God, breaking into our souls here and now, making us anew. That's why Paul could say, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. Yes, Jesus said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus came to bring us into fullness of life. Abundant life. Life with a capital L. Life with a new quality. Life that will never end. How often we think of eternal life merely in terms of everlasting existence. We think of eternal life as something that we hope to enter into when we die one day and go to heaven. But no, Jesus says, he that has the Son has life. Present tense. It's a new quality of life, the life of heaven that we enter into here and now, the very moment that we respond. We hear his voice and we come to hear. Jesus brings us into abundant life. Such, my friends, is the gracious and wonderful provision of the Good Shepherd for every one of his sheep. Oh, let me ask you in closing this morning, are these blessings true of you? Are you enjoying the ministry of the Good Shepherd this morning? Do you know him this morning? Does he know you? Have you recognized his voice? Has he spoken to you? Have you responded? Have you entered through the door of salvation? Have you entered into that life eternal, that life more abundant? Can you say this morning with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Have you found that complete contentment and satisfaction in him? Or maybe these things are completely foreign to you. You don't know what I'm talking about this morning. Well, my friend, if so, then I say to you, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The Good Shepherd is alive. He's here with us this morning. Two arms outstretched to receive you, to bless you and to save you. Come to him this morning. He says, him who comes to me, I will never cast out. He will receive you. Respond to his voice. Believe on him. Put your trust in him. Enter through that door. Because Jesus is the only door. And if you enter through him, you will be saved. And you will go in and out and find pasture. And you will enter into that life more abundant. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. Who are you going to follow this morning? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, how we thank you for the good shepherd. How we thank you for the one you promised to send, the one who came in the fullness of the times, and the one who fulfills this great ministry. We do thank you for the one who gave his life for his sheep, the one who is the great shepherd who has taken that life and has risen again and is now coming again as the chief shepherd to receive us into glory itself. We thank you for the one who gives us that eternal and abundant life, the one who satisfies our every need. And we do pray that these may be the blessings of each and every one this morning. We pray that, Lord, your voice might be heard today and that your sheep may follow you. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.